Labi, atkal turpināsim.
Now when Jesus had been baptized,
kad Jēzus tika kristīts,
we read that he went out and began to preach.
Mēs lasām, kad viņš sāka sludināt.
And he continued where John had left off.
Un viņš turpināja, varētu teikt, no tās vietas, kur Jānis beidz.
Saying again, repent and believe the good news about the kingdom.
Nožēlojiet grēkus un ticiet labajām ziņām par Dieva valstību.
Now, in John 3:26, you read about how John's disciples responded to that. John 3:26.
Jāņa 3:26, jūs varat lasīt, kā Jāņa mācekļi uz to reaģēja.
He's saying, Rabbi, the man who was with you on the other side of Jordan, and you testified about, he's baptizing and everybody's going after him.
Tad šie mācekļi griežas pie Jāņa un sacīja viņam, Rabbi, kas bija pie tevis viņpus Jordānas, par ko tu esi nodevis liecību, tas lūk kristī un visi iet pie viņa.
And John said, he must become great, I must become less.
Jānis atbildēja, cilvēks nekā nevar ņemt, ja tas viņam nav no debesīm dots.
But time went by and John ended up in prison.
Viņam jāpieaug man jāiet mazumā, un laiks gāja, un Jānis nonāca cietumā.
And there was no rescue mission to get him out of prison.
Un nebija nevienas glābšanas misijas, kas viņu no turienes ārā dabūt.
No kingly acts. You could have expected the king would have liberated his right-hand man.
Jūs taču sagaidīt, cerētu, ka ķēniņš tagad sūtīs glābšanas brigādi, kas glābs viņā, varētu teikt, labo roku.
So he sends his disciples to Jesus and with a question.
Un līdz ar to Jānis sūta savus mācekļus pie Jēzus.
Are you the one that was to come, or should we expect someone else?
Vai tu esi tas viens, kuru mēs gaidījām, ja mums kāds cits jāgaida?
So Jesus does set them, stand here and watch.
Un Jēzus šiem mācekļiem saka, pastāviet kādu brītiņu šeit un paskatieties.
And when it was evening, Jesus sent them back to John with the following message.
Un kad bija pienācis vakars, viņš viņus sūtīja atpakaļ ar sakojošu vēsti.
Matthew 11:4-6.
Mateja 11, Matthew 11.
4-6.
No 4 līdz 6.
Go back and report to John what you have seen. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached for the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me.
Jēzus atbildēja un tiem sacīja, noejiet un atsakat Jānim, ko jūs dzirdat un redzat. Akli redz, tīzli iet, spitālīgi top šķīsti, kurli dzird, miroņi ceļas augšām un nabagiem tiek sludināta prieka vēsts. Un svētīgs ir, kas pie manis neapgrēcinājis.
What kind of answer is that to the question, are you the one?
Kas šī ir par atbildi uz jautājumu, vai tu esi tas viens?
Jews, including John, apparently expected when the one came.
Jūdi, un ieskaitot, es domāju, arī Jāni uzskatīja, ka tad, kad ieradīsies šis viens,
the whole package promised by the prophets would burst on the world.
Par pasauli, kā saka, izbirs visi tie apsolījumi, kas ir doti laika gaitā.
In a single event.
Vienā mirklī.
If you read Luke 19:11,
ja jūs lasat Lūkas 9:11,
you have a clear reference to this general expectation.
Šeit ir tā tieši atsauce uz šīm ilgām.
I said Luke 19:11.
Lūkas 19. Nodaļa 11.
We read, while they were listening to this, he went on to tell them a parable, because he was near Jerusalem, and the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once.
Lūkas 19:11. Viņiem klausoties, tas stāstīja vēl vienu līdzību. Tamdēļ, ka viņi Jēzum tūp pie Jeruzalemes, esot domāju, ka tūliņ vajag parādīties Dieva valstībai, pa angliski uzreiz parādīsies Dieva valstībai.
Now Jesus would take several parables to tell them, no, not so fast.
Un Jēzus viņam stāstīja vairākas līdzības ar domu, nē, netik strauji.
We have several occasions where they asked him.
Bija vairākas reizes, kad viņam uzdeva jautājumu.
About when the kingdom would come.
Kad Dieva valstība nodibināsies?
And you read this, I don't have the text here, with the reference, I have the text, the kingdom of God is not coming with things to be observed.
Dieva valstība nenāk ārēji redzamā veidā.
Nor will they say, look, here it is, or there it is.
Vai kā teiks, lūk viņa šeit vai tur.
And he says, for in fact, the kingdom of God is among you. That's how it's generally translated.
Bet tātad
it's among you.
Bet Dieva valstība ir jūsu vidū.
A better translation would be it is in front of you.
Labāks tulkojums būtu jūsu priekšā.
You are actually watching it in operation. You see it in function.
Citiem vārdiem sakot, jūs redzam to darbojamies.
He's saying your expectations are wrong as to how it will happen.
Jūsu gaidas ir nepareizas, kā tas notiks. It's Luke 17.
Yes, is it Luke 17? Yes, that may be it.
Luke 17. Nodaļa, tas ir 20. Pants.
He's basically saying to them, your expectations are wrong.
Citiem varam sakot, viņš saka, jūsu gaidas ir nepareizas.
It's not going to come as you expected.
Tas nenotiks tā, kā jūs to gaidat.
The kingdom according to Jesus accordingly is something something that embraces our whole existence and it's not about things, institutions or anything of the anything that connect to a kingdom of this world. Yes. One more
Jesus,
time.
Okay.
All right, you know, the kingdom is not a place or a thing or an institution or anything like that.
Valstība nav vieta vai institūcija.
It's something that embraces the whole of existence.
Tas ir kaut kas tāds, kas aptver visu, kas pastāv.
As I said here, he's basically saying it's in front of you. You are already seeing it in action. You're looking at it.
Viņš saka, faktiski, šī valstība ir jūsu priekšā. Jūs redzat to darbībā.
When he was saying that, I probably looked around and said, what is he talking about?
Un, kad viņš to teica, droši vien, tur daži grozie galvas riņķi, un teica, pa ko viņš tagad te runā?
But there is some events that are very illuminating.
Bet ir daži notikumi, kas to labi izgaismo.
But I would just sum it up very, very briefly.
Bet es to summēšu tā ļoti īsi.
He does talk about when there was a dialogue between him and his audience about a demon possessed.
Tur bija tāds strīds starp Jēzu un cilvēkiem, kas bija apkārt par kādu, kas bija ar ļauniem gariem apsēsts.
And Jesus is driving out a demon.
Un Jēzus izdzen šo demonu.
And the people respond, could he be the one?
Un cilvēki uzreiz uzdod jautājumu, vai šis varētu būt tas viens?
Now, is that the kind of thing the Messiah would do when he is coming? Would he drive out the demon?
Tā, kad ieradīsies šis viens, ja Mesija, viņš taču izdzīs demonus.
And the Pharisees, who did not want that idea to settle in the minds of the people,
Un farizeji, kuri negribēja, lai šī doma nosēžas cilvēkiem prātā, ka tas varētu tas būt.
No, they said, it's by the devil he's doing it.
Nē, viņš ar velnu palīdzību to dara.
And there's a long discussion with Jesus about the devil driving out the devil and so on.
Un tad tur ir gara diskusija par to, kur Jēzus saka, ka nu, velns velnu ārā nedzīs.
But then Jesus says at the end.
Bet beigās Jēzus saka.
If I drive out the demon by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is upon you.
Bet ja es izdzenu velnu ar Dieva gara palīdzību, tad Dieva valstība ir tūl klāt pienākusi.
To sum it up very briefly.
Un tā summējot to visu.
The point being, part of the curse of paradise is that the serpent, the devil, he gained power in this world, isn't it?
Daļa no pirmās mūsu grāmatas trešā nodaļa lāstiem ir tā, ka Sātans ieguva zinām var šajā pasaulē.
The curse came upon this world through the serpent power in Genesis 3.
Lāsts par šo zemi nāca ar čūskas varu.
In short, the point being that if the curse of disease, suffering and injustice, if the curse of disease and suffering,
ja lāsts ir slimības ciešanas,
injustice,
netaisnība,
depravity and enslavement to Satan,
pavērdzinātība Sātanam,
even death is being undone in his presence.
Un tepat nāve tiek, varētu teikt, kā atcelta.
And by his word.
Ar viņa vārdu.
And if the blessing of health, sanity, spirituality and life.
Un ja nāk šī saprātības garīguma apziņas un dzīvības svētība.
And life is restored through him.
Un dzīvība tiek atjaunota caur viņu.
Then the kingdom rule of God has arrived in and through him.
Tad Dieva valstība ir ienākusi caur viņu.
This is a touch of paradise.
Tas ir paradīzes pieskāriens.
In other words, Jesus is introducing himself.
Citiem vārdiem sakot, Jēzus ir sevi stādījis priekšā.
As the one who is removing the curse of Genesis 3.
Jēzus sevi stādījis priekšā kā tādu, kas noņem pirmās mūsu grāmatas trešās nodaļas lāstus.
And restoring the world according to the blessing of paradise.
Un atjauno pasauli saskaņā ar paradīzes svētībām.
It's very clear when you look at all these statements of Jesus.
Un ir ļoti skaidrs, kad jūs raugāties uz šīm Jēzus paziņojumiem.
His mission is about driving out the devil.
Ka viņa uzdevums ir izdzīt velnu.
And bringing the blessing of paradise back.
Un atgriezt atpakaļ
paradīzes svētību. And what he's doing in his ministry is a snapshot. Just an image, just a brief sign.
Un tas, ko viņš dara, ir tāda neliela zīme.
Of what is one day to be the reality of the whole world.
Kas vienu dienu būs realitāte visā pasaulē.
What I'm doing now is what I'm going to do for everybody someday.
Tas, ko es tagad daru, ir tas, ko es darīšu ar visiem vienu dienu.
So much about his kingdom.
Tik tālu par viņa valstību.
What I would like to share with you are some, there are much I have to skip.
Daudz, kas man te jāizlaiž.
But I want to share one particular thing with you about the ministry of Jesus.
Es gribētu parunāt par vienu lietu Jēzus kalpošanā.
How his kingdom is actually being established.
Kā nodibinās viņa valstība?
How can this rule of God, this blessing again, be, should I say, take a foothold in this world?
Kā viņa valstība nopamatojas šajā pasaulē?
Now this is where there is going to be a flashpoint between him and the contemporary Jews.
Un lūk, šeit rodas šī spriedze jeb blīkši starp viņu un viņa laika biedriem.
Now there are several points on which he does not match their expectancy.
Jo ir vairākas lietas, kurās viņš neatbilst viņu gaidām.
First of all, he's not going to deliver it all at once.
Pirmkārt, viņš netaisās atbrīvot viņus uzreiz vienā paņēmienā.
Be that what it is.
Lai kas tas būtu?
Of course, the Messiah had the right to say, wait a minute, it's not going to happen exactly that way.
Protams, Mesijam ir tiesības pateikt, mirklīt pagaidiet, ne tā tam jānotiek.
What really annoys them is something else.
Kas viņus tracina, ir kaut kas cits.
It's one thing that he doesn't deliver it in the fashion and in the speed they wanted.
Viena lieta ir tā, ka viņš to nedarīja tādā ātrumā, kā viņi to cerēja.
And another thing is that this man is behaving like a blasphemer.
Bet otra lieta, ka šis cilvēks uzvedās kā zaimotājs.
The first they could have forgiven him, the last.
to pirmo viņam vēl varētu piedot.
There's one episode in Capernaum. I want you to notice this.
Kapernaumā ir šī viena epizode.
I think it sheds some light on some of the actions and claims of Jesus.
Kur var paskatīties par pamācīties par Jēzus rīcību un viņa nu, to, ko viņš par viņa apgalvojumiem.
Which actually is going to alienate him from the establishment in Jerusalem.
Kas atsvešina viņu no tā saucamā establishmenta Jeruzalemē,
ja varas. It is actually the healing of the paralytic that came through the roof. When that was lower through the roof,
šis paralītiķis, kuru caur jumtu ir nolaiž telpā.
It's Matthew 9:1, I believe it is.
Matthew.
That's where you find the story.
Matthew
9:1 and onwards.
That's
where you find the story.
Mateja 9. Nodaļa.
I retell most of it by my words.
Es to atstāstīšu saviem vārdiem.
Now when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic.
Un Jēzus saka šiem paralīzi.
Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven.
Ņemies droši prātu, tavi grēki tev piedoti.
Ah, if we hear that words, if he would say that to you, say, ah, that was nice.
Ja jūs dzirdētu šos vārdus, vai cik jautri tas būtu.
The theologians, however, immediately grumbled among themselves and said, he's a blasphemer.
Who, theologian?
The theologians grumbled and said, he's a blasphemer.
Bet teologi uzreiz sāk rūkt un teikt, viņš ir zaimotājs.
Now, I want you to recollect that it will be the charge of blasphemy which will be used at his crucifixion.
Lūk, šeit ir viens no tiem... No tām epizodēm, kuras izmantos pēc tam, kā apsūdzību pret viņu, kad viņu sit krustā.
This is the first time we hear that they accuse him of being a blasphemer.
Šī ir pirmā reize, kad viņš tiek apsūdzēts par zaimotāju.
Of course you know, theologians know what they talk about, at least they think they do.
Jūs zināt, protams, ka teologi zin, par ko viņi runā, vismaz viņiem pašiem tas šķiet.
But Jesus could have taken the bite out of this argument by saying,
Jēzus, protams, varēja atbildēt šajā strīdā,
I just recognize his faith and comforted him with the words of the Torah.
Es, protams, viņu vienkārši mierinu ar Tōras vārdiem.
And the Torah says that everybody that responds to God will have forgiveness of sin. That's all I was doing.
Un Tōrā ir teikts, kad viss, kas atbild Dievam, ka viņam tie grēki piedot.
And they will have nodded and said, thanks for the clarification.
Un viņi teiktu, paldies par paskaidrojumu.
But watch your words.
Mēs paskatīsimies, ko tu dari.
But Jesus didn't attempt to evade this conflict.
Bet šeit nav kaut kā šīs vēlmes mazināt šo konfliktu.
He stepped right into it.
Viņš iet tieši tur iekšā.
He said, all right, then, the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins.
Viņš saka, ka cilvēka dēlam virs zemes ir vara piedot grēkus.
I assume they understood the reference Son of Man to be a reference to Daniel 7.
Es domāju, kad pieminot cilvēka dēlu, tā ir atsauce uz Daniela 7. Nodaļu.
Where one like a Son of Man would brought into the presence of God and receive the kingdom rule forever and ever.
Kur kāds līdzīgs cilvēka dēlam tiek vests šī Dieva priekšā, lai saņemtu valstību.
Jesus is not by these words saying, I am God.
Ar šiem vārdiem Jēzus nesaka, es esmu Dievs.
He says, the Son of Man or the Messiah has been authorized by God to forgive sin.
Citiem vārdiem sakot, viņš pasaka, ka Dievs ir autorizējis devis varu Mesijam piedot grēkus.
It is his authority to act on behalf of God in mediating forgiveness. That's basically what Jesus
Dievs
is claiming.
Viņam ir devis varu pārstāvēt Dievu un viņa vārdā to darīt.
And to prove his point, he says, what do you think is the easiest?
Un lai pierādītu savu argumentu, viņš saka, kā jums šķiet, kas ir vienkāršāk?
To say your sins are forgiven or get up and walk.
Vai nu pateikt tev grēki piedoti vai ņem savu gultu un ej?
What do you think is easiest to say to the guy next to you, your sins are forgiven or get up and walk?
Kas ir vieglāk, pateikt cilvēkam, kas tev blakus, tev grēka piedoti, ja paralītiķiem pateikt celies un staigā?
Paralyzed?
Paralītiķiem.
What do you think is easiest to say to the guy you're
kas, kas ir vieglāk paralītiķiem? Ko vieglāk ir pateikt paralītiķiem?
Then Jesus didn't ask for wait for an answer.
Jēzus pat negaidīja atbildi.
That you may know. That the Son of Man.
Lai jūs zinātu.
The Messiah.
Ka Mesijam.
Has authority on earth to forgive sins.
Ir vara virs zemes grēkus piedot.
He said to the paralytic, get up, take your mat and go home.
Viņš saka uz triekas ķertot, celies, ņem savu gultu un ej uz mājām.
And so he did.
Un tā viņš arī izdarīja.
Now, does the Messiah have the authority to forgive sins?
Vai Mesijam ir vara piedot grēkus?
If so, on what grounds does he have that authority?
Ja ir, tad uz kāda pamata?
Now, apparently they did not expect that the Messiah would have that kind of authority.
Acīm redzot, viņi necerēja, kad Mesijam būs tāda autoritāte.
So what do you do with a blasphemer in Israel?
Ko jūs darāt ar zaimotāju Izrēlā?
Somebody that claims to exercise powers on behalf of God which they don't have.
Kurš apgalvo, ka viņam ir Dieva piešķirta autoritāte vai vara, kas viņam nav.
This is what you do.
Jūs viņu nomētājat ar akmeņiem.
And if you have ever been in Palestine, you know there's one thing they can export from now into eternity, that's stones.
Un jūs zināt, ja jūs esat bijuši Palestīnā, jūs zināt, kad viena lieta, ko viņi var eksportēt no mūsdien, no šodienas līdz mūžībai, ir akmeņi, kas tur ir
visapkārt.
Jo ir tikai jāpielietas, lai kādu
paņemt. Now, this is only the beginning of a drama that will climax in his crucifixion and the final challenge with the high priest.
Un šī drāma, kas sākas un beidzas viņa krustā sišķenā.
You know what Caiaphas is saying, he has blasphemed God, what further witnesses do we need?
Jūs atcerieties, ko Caiaphas saka, viņš ir zaimojis Dievu, kādu vēl liecinieku tie vajadzīgi.
So they judge him guilty according to the Torah.
Un viņi notiesā viņu saskaņā Toru.
He is basically saying, they are all, you are all witnesses now, you heard it from himself.
Viņš saka, ne, tev vairs liecinieki nav vajadzīgi, jūs no viņa paša esat dzirdējuši.
Now, what is shocking for a second temple Jew in what Jesus is doing up in Capernaum?
Kas ir šokējoši otrā tempļa jūdiem saistībā ar to, ko Jēzus šeit Kapernaumā dara?
What is so shocking about what he's doing, saying your sins are forgiven?
Kas šeit ir tik šokējoši, kad viņš pasaka, ka tev grēki ir piedoti?
Now, we have to remember that the Jews, second temple Jews,
Jūs atcerieties, ka šie otrā tempļa jūdi.
They had a highly developed theology of forgiveness.
Viņiem bija ļoti augsti attīstīta grēku piedošanas teoloģija.
They were a community that was structured around the temple and the sanctuary and its functions.
Viņi bija sabiedrība, kas bija veidota ap templi un šī tempļa funkcijām.
The heart of the sanctuary was to mediate forgiveness of sins and thus access to God.
Tempļa būtība bija the meaning of temple.
Well, the heart of the temple was to mediate forgiveness of sins.
Tempļa būtība bija šī grēku piedošana un tādā veidā tuvošanās Dievam.
This was nothing new.
Tas nebija nekas jauns.
In Israel, at that time, every Jew knew where, how, and by whom a person could receive forgiveness of sin.
Izrēlā tolaik katrs cilvēks zināja, Kāds ar ko un kādā veidā var iegūt grēku piedošanu.
So this is why they immediately are responding here.
Un lūk, tāpēc viņi momentā šeit atbild.
The sanctuary and its ministry was the way to God.
Svētnīca un svētnīcas kalpošana bija ceļš pie Dieva.
All knew that. They had atonement theology.
Visi to zināja, bija šī salīdzināšanas teoloģija.
If you read in Hebrews 5 verse 1, you have a good example of this common understanding.
Ebrejiem 5:1 arī pieminēta šī kopējā izpratne, kas bija tolaik.
And he's actually stating what common Jewish theology was all about.
Un tur ir pateikts, kas tad bija ebreju teoloģija.
Hebrews 5:1.
Ebrejiem 5:1.
Every high priest is selected from among men and is appointed to represent them in matters relating to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sin.
Jo katrs no cilvēka vidus ņemtais augstais priesteris cilvēku labā tiek iecelts kalpošanai Dievam, lai nestu dāvanas un upurus par grēkiem.
They were all understood this.
Tā bija otrā tempļa jūda teoloģija un visi to saprata.
The people listening and watching up in Capernaum, they knew that God facilitated forgiveness of sin where and by whom and how.
Viņi visi zināja, ka saskaņā šo teoloģiju, caur ko, kur un kādā veidā Dievs piedod grēkus.
And their reaction is understandable.
Un viņu reakcija ir pilnīgi saprotama.
In their view, this man was acting against the divine instructions in the Torah.
Un šis saskaņā ar viņu pārliecību šis vīrs rīkojās pret to, kas ir teikts Torā.
And no, at the time of Second Temple Judaism, nobody was looking for a new priesthood, let alone a replacement of the temple.
Otrā tempļa jūdaismā neviens negaidīja jaunu priesterību. Visi zināja, ka templis ir tas veids, kā tuvojas Dievam.
No one was looking for another way to God.
Neviens negaidīja cita veida pieeja Dievam.
Or a new priest.
Vai jaunu priesteri.
And least of all that the Messiah would be a priest.
Kur nu vēl to, ka Mesija būs reizē arī priesteris.
What they was looking forward for the king to come and give them a new king, a new David, the restoration of Israel, a new heaven.
Viņi gaidīja jaunu Dāvidu, jaunu ķēniņu, Izraela atjaunošanu.
Yes, many believe that the Messiah would cleanse the old temple in Jerusalem or even build another one.
Daudzi ticēja, ka Mesija šķīstīs templi Jeruzalemē vai varbūt pat uzcels jaunu.
But to replace it and take over its function in his own person.
Bet ne jau, kad aizvieto templi un visu paņem, visu templi kalpošanu paņem uz sevi.
He himself the mediator of forgiveness, he himself the new way to God.
Ka viņš pats kļūs pa jaunu ceļu pie Dieva.
That was unthinkable.
Tas bija kaut kas neiedomājams.
Even in their wildest dream, they were not looking forward to anything like this.
Pat vissliktākajos murgosiņiem kaut kas tāds sapņos nevarēja rādīties.
They would have said, hold on, man, just wait a minute, what is this?
Viņš saka, paga, cilvēki, kas tagad notiek?
Now that is exactly what Jesus is claiming and doing from the first act up in Capernaum.
Un lūk, tieši tas ir tas, ko Jēzus dara no savas pirmās rīcības Kapernaumā.
When you begin to see all of this in the bigger storyline of the Bible.
Kad jūs to visu redzat šajā lielajā Jēzus Bībeles stāstā.
Was the Israelite kings ever priests?
Vai izraelieši ķēniņi jebkad bijuši priesteri?
Now since the day of Moses who embodied both the civil and the priestly function in himself.
Kopš Mozes dienām, kurš iemiesoja gan ķēniņa, gan priestera funkcijas.
He separated the two functions.
Viņš atdalīja
and the priestly
šīs
function
divas.
Was given to the house of Aaron.
Un priestera funkcijas tika uzticētas Ārona namam.
Priestly and civil offices were separated in Israel.
Priestera un laicīgajās amats tika nodalīts
and
Izraelā.
And finally there was a king installed in Israel, the separation continued.
Un kad Izraelā tika iecelts ķēniņš, šī nošķirtība turpinājās.
Don't argue that the northern kings, the kings of Israel in apostasy, they function as priests. Yes, they did.
Te nesākat strīdēties, kad ziemeļa daļā Izraēlā, kad viņi bija sacēlušies pret Dievu, kad tur ķēniņi bija arī kā priesteri, jā, tas tā bija tur.
But that was a rival worship to the one God has instituted.
Bet tā bija kā sāncensība kalpošanā paralēli patiesējai, kas bija nodibināta.
According to the Torah and the instructions of the prophets, no king had any right to function as priest.
Saskaņā ar to, kas bija noteikts Torā, nevienam ķēniņam nebija tiesību kalpot kā priesterim.
And if you had been in Capernaum, you would have noticed somebody who was not a Levite.
Un ja jūs būtu bijuši Kapernaumā, jūs ievērot kādu, kas nebija Levits.
Somebody was certainly not out of the house of Aaron.
Kurš noteikti nebija no Ārona cilts.
And who apparently claims he is the son of man, the Messiah.
Kurš apgalvo, ka viņš ir cilvēka dēls, tātad Mesija.
And you would have seen somebody claiming that he has all the rights to function as the house of Aaron.
Un kurš apgalvo, ka viņam visas tiesības rīkoties tā, kā kādam no Ārona nama.
Somebody taking over the priesthood or priestly function assigned by the Torah to the house of Aaron.
Kuram ir tiesības pārņemt to kalpošanu, kas ir Tōrā paredzēta tikai Ārona namam.
So he appears to defy the Torah, the instructions of the prophets and everything.
Un līdz ar to šķiet, ka viņš nostājas pret Tōru un pret visiem praviešiem.
No matter how many miracles he's doing, he must be a deceiver and a blasphemer.
Nav svarīgi vairs, cik daudz brīnumus viņš dara, viņš ir zaimotājs.
And Jesus continues that kind of ministry.
Un Jēzus turpina šādu veidu kalpošanu.
And I believe this is where the real flashpoint is coming.
Un lūk, man liekas, ka šeit ir tas flashpoint.
That's where the conflict.
Jā, lūk, šeit ir tas, kur tas tā vieta, kur sākas tas konflikts.
Yeah. There is two private episodes I want to draw your attention to.
Es vēlētos jums pievērst uzmanību divām tādām privātām epizodēm.
You find it in John 4:21-26.
Jāņa 4:24-26.
And again I will just give you the gist of it.
Un atkal es tikai tādā īsumā to
saku. It is the Samaritan woman, you remember that at the well?
Jūs atceraties tātad šī samariešu sievas pie akas.
And Jesus is saying something about it.
Un te Jēzus viņai kaut ko grib teikt.
Now he says what did he say? Where did I put it? Okay, it's the words. Let me find it in the text. That might help. John, did I say 4?
4
21. Thanks. We're there. Now she is asking the question, tell me, is it on this mountain or in Jerusalem we shall worship?
Un viņa jautā Jēzum, vai Dievs jāpielūd šinī kalnā vai Jeruzalemē?
A long discussion about true and false worship between the Samaritans and the Jews.
Un tad tur ir tāda gara saruna par patieso un viltus pielūgsmu starp jūdiem un samariešiem.
And Jesus said in verse 21, believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem.
Un Jēzus šeit viņai saka, tici man, sieva, nāk stunda, kad jūsu kad jūs tēvu vairs nepielūksiet ne šinī kalnā, ne Jeruzalemē.
He adds though that the Samaritans you worship what you don't know, but we worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews.
Un tad viņš jau piemita, ne jūs pielūdzat, ko nezināt, mēs pielūdzam, ko zinām, jo pestīšana nāk no jūdiem.
Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worship will worship in the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kinds of worshipers the Father seeks.
Bet nāk stunda, un ir jau klāt, kad īstie dievlodzie pielūgs tēvu garā un patiesībā, jo tēvs tādu smeklē, kas viņu tā pielūdz.
What does he mean by this statement?
Ko viņš domā, ko viņš saprot ar šo paziņojumu?
Of course he is saying, let's not dispute this issue anymore.
Protams,
it's already outdated.
Protams, pirmkārt, tas nozīmē, ka nestrīdēsimies par to, jo tas jau laiks jau pagājis.
The time has already come for the temple in Jerusalem to finish.
Jo laiks jau ir pienācis Jeruzalemes templim palikt vēsturē.
A new worship is already arriving in the world, making the temple obsolete.
Pasaulē ir ienākusi jauna veida pielūgsme, kurā templis ir lieks.
A new and better way to God has been opened and is now present. You don't need the temple in Jerusalem anymore.
Un šis jauns veids ir ienācis pasaulē un ir klātesošs un šis templis Jeruzalemē vairs nav vajadzīgs.
Of course a good Jew would have said, all right, yes, we know when paradise is restored, we don't need the temple anymore.
Protams, katrs kārtīgs jūds teiks, mēs to zinām, tad kad paradīze būs atjaunota, tur vairs templis nebūs vajadzīgs.
All this shedding of blood of course has to do with the problem of sin when that's gone.
Visa
we don't need it anymore.
Visa šī asins izliešana ar upuriem ir nepieciešama dēļ grēka, un ja grēka vairs nebūs, arī tas nebūs.
This is a provision for a fallen world, not for paradise.
Jo templis ir kritušās pasaules sastāvdaļa, ne paradīze.
But Jesus didn't just say that. He said, no, the time has already arrived. A new way to God has been established, is here.
Bet Jēzus saka, nē, jaunas pieeja Dievam ir atvērusies tagad.
In other words, the temple way to God in Jerusalem is in the process of being redundant and obsolete.
Un citiem vārdiem sakot, templis Jeruzalemē kļūst lieks.
And she says something very enlightening.
Un viņa pasaka kaut ko ļoti interesantu.
We know that when the Messiah come, he will teach us all things.
Viņa saka, mēs zinām, ka tad, kad Mesija nāks, viņš mums visu lietas mācīs. Viņš mums mācīs patieso pielūksmi.
And Jesus says, it's me, the one speaking to you.
Un Jēzus saka, es tas esmu, kas ar tevi runā.
Now, he didn't say that to a Jewish audience and he would have been killed instantly.
Jēzus to nesaka jūdiem, jo viņš momentā tik nogalināts par to.
Because they would have seen this is a complete, you know, I don't know, outrageous to make a statement about the temple like that.
Jo es nezinu, kur vēl briesmīgāku paziņojumu par templi varētu vispār pateikt.
After all, it was the way to God for a Jew.
Tas bija vienīgais veids, kā jūds vispār varēja toties Dievam.
At least they would have said, where is this new way to God?
Viņi varētu vēl teikt, kur tad vēl ir šis jaunais veids, kā nāk pie Dieva.
And if he has said what he's going to say in the next episode that I'm going to mention, he would have been stoned.
Un ja viņš pateikt to, ko viņš teica, ko es pieminēšu te nākamajā
epizodē. At the last sabbat, viņa, Jesus was with his disciples. Is it John?
Nomētāt ar akmeņiem, kad Jēzus bija pēdējā sabatā ar saviem mācekļiem.
John 14:1-4, that's where you find this.
Jāņa 14. Nodaļā no 1. Līdz 4. Pantam jūs to redzat.
That's where you say, I'll go away and prepare a place for you. We know this text, right?
Es iešu prom, sagatavošu vietu, jums jūs zināt šo tekstu.
And where I go, you know the way, he said to them.
Un kur es eju to ceļu, jūs zināt, viņš saka.
Then Thomas asked him and said, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?
Un Toms saka, mēs nezinām, kur te, nu kā, tad mēs ceļu varam zināt.
Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth and the life.
Tad Jēzus viņam saka, es esmu ceļš, patiesība un dzīvība.
No one comes to the Father except through me.
Neviens netiek pie Tēva kā vien caur mani.
Now this is one of the gems of the words of Jesus. Very revealing.
Tā ir viena no Jēzus vārdu pērlēm, kas ļoti daudz ko atklāja.
Remember that for Jew the temple was the way, the truth and the life.
Atcerieties, kad jūdiem templis bija patiesība, ceļš un dzīvība.
You come to God only through the temple provisions.
Jūs varat nākt pie Dieva tikai caur to, ko caur tempļa kalpošanu.
And now Jesus says, I am the way, the truth and the life.
Un tagad Jēzus pasaka, es esmu ceļš, patiesība un dzīvība.
And no one comes to the Father except through me.
Un neviens nenāk pie Tēva kā viens ar mani.
In other words, Jesus is proclaiming, I am the new way to God.
Citiem vārdiem Jēzus pasaka, es esmu jauns ceļš pie Dieva.
And Jesus is very clearly assuming the functions of the temple and its priesthood.
Un Jēzus skaidri pārņem tempļa un priesterības funkcijas.
It's a keynote in his ministry.
Tas viņa kalpošanā tas ir tā centrālā tēma.
Now we hardly notice what Jesus is saying here because this is the crown jewel in the Christian teaching, isn't it?
Mēs to pat neaptveram, ko Jēzus šeit pasaka, jo tā ir tā centrālā mācība kristietībā.
But for a second temple Jew this must have been shocking speech.
Bet priekš otrā tempļa jūdiem tā bija vienkārši šokējošs paziņojums.
And of course they would have killed him on the spot if he has been present if they had heard what he said.
Un ja tur kāds no šiem jūdiem būtu bijis klāts, viņš būtu momentā uz vietas un ar akmeņiem nomētāts.
In other words, what Jesus is saying and doing appear to be subversive to the most sacred heart of what Jews believed in.
Tas, ko Jēzus šeit pateica un darīja, būtu absolūti nepieņemams tādam sirsnīgākam nodevušamies cilvēkam.
Capernaum was only the beginning.
Kapernauma bija tikai sākums.
When Jesus entered the temple for the last time.
Kad Jēzus bija templī pēdējo reizi.
He was seeking a confrontation with the temple authorities.
Viņš meklēja konfrontāciju pats ar tempļa kalpotājiem.
He's going to force the issue about who he is and what authority he has to the absolute climax.
Viņš mēģināja šeit izveidot konfliktu par to, kas viņš ir un kāda viņam ir autoritāte un novest to līdz kulminācijai.
Driving all the buyers and sellers of the temple is a complete defiance of the temple authorities. They had instituted it. Driving out all the buyers and sellers of the temple was of course a defiance of the temple authorities.
Izdzenot visus šos pārdevējus ārā no tempļa, tas bija uzreiz milzīgs izaicinājums šīm tempļa autoritātēm, kas viņiem to ļāva darīt.
Worse, he was actually stopping the trade with sacrificial animals.
Vēl ļaunāk, viņš faktiski apturēja šo upuru dzīvnieku upurēšanu, jo tos tur vairs nevarēja dabūt.
So he stopped the regular service in the temple.
Faktiski viņš pārtrauca dievkalpojumu templī.
You have to remember that the temple was now big business.
Jūs saprotiet to, ka templis faktiski bija liels bizness.
Thousands of sacrifices were brought there.
Tūkstošiem upuru tur tika nesti.
And you had to find a clean and hygienic way of dealing with this.
Un jums tur vajadzēja tad what you mean by this?
Clean and hygienic way of dealing with all these sacrifices.
Un jums vajadzēja tur tad atrast tādu tīru un higienisku veidu, kā ar šiem visiem upuriem tur tikt galā.
If they didn't institute that, it would soon have been smelling like a pig pen.
Ja tur nebūtu šī visa sistēma, kas tur darbojas, tur drīz vien smirdētu pēc cūkūts.
So they had instituted that the animals were washed in the pool of Siloam.
Tātad Šiloā dīķī šī dzīvnieki tika mazgāti.
Then they were brought into the temple and then traded to the worshippers.
Un tad viņus ievada templī un tur viņus pārdeva pielūdzējiem.
And most of us would have approved and said, yes, that's the right way of doing things.
Un vairums no mums piekristu, ka tas ir pareizais veids, kā
all
to darīt.
All this manure and all this dirt and smell, I mean, forget it.
Visi netīrumi un smakas, nu, tas nebūtu ciešams.
So Jesus is stopping the whole thing, just driving it out of the temple.
Un Jēzus šeit aptur visu šo lietu, izdzīdams visu ārā no tempļa.
And next morning he arrives himself in person.
Nākamo dienā viņš atkal, kā mēs sakam, savā personā ierodas tur.
On the main stair in the temple.
Nostājas uz tempļa centrālām kāpnēm.
Then he called the worshippers and the people saying, all who thirst, come to me.
Un izplaš rokas un sauc visiem, kas tur atrodas templī, visiem,
and
kas slāps, nāk pie
manis.
Un visi, kas svēltas, nākaties dzert.
Within you shall be a wellspring to eternal life. Within you will be a wellspring to eternal
un,
life.
Un šis avots jūsos būs par avotu mūžīgai dzīvībai.
He could hardly have been clear here.
Viņš vairs nevarēja runāt vēl skaidrāk.
What you came to the temple to receive, come to me, and I'll give it to you.
Tas, dēļ kā jūs nācāt uz templi, lai to saņemtu, tagad nākat pie manis, un es jums
then
to došu.
The high priest and his entourage is coming.
Un kad nāk augstais priesteris ar savu svītu,
he is of course taking over the function of the high priest here.
Un, protams, ka Jēzus šeit arī pārņem visā augstā priestera funkcijas.
And he challenges me and said, with what authority do you do this?
Un augstais priesteris, protams, uzdod momentā jautājumu, kādām tiesībām tu to dari.
Who gave you this authority?
Kas tevi devis šādas tiesības?
You read it in Matthew chapter 21.
To jūs lasat Mateja 21. Nodaļā.
In other words, he's saying, well, what right do you hand out all the blessings of the temple?
Kādā varētu tu izdala šīs tempļa svētības.
Now Jesus answered with a counter question.
Jēzus atbild viņam ar pretjautājumu.
Before I answer this one, I will have an answer for you. I have an answer from you.
Es arī gribu jums jautāt vienu jautājumu.
Tell me, John the Baptist, why he's from God or man?
No kurienes bija Jāņa kristība, vai no debesīm, vai no cilvēkiem, 25.
pants. What does that have to do with the question of authority, do you think?
Kā jums šķiet, kāds šeit sakars ar autoritāti?
Was it just a question, was he a true prophet or not?
Vai šeit bija jautājums, vai viņš ir patiesis pravietis vai nav?
They are asking, with what authority are you doing what you're doing?
Viņi prasa, ar kādu autoritāti tu dari to, ko tu dari?
And Jesus asked them, you know, who was John the Baptist, from God or man?
Un viņš viņiem prasa, no kurienes bija Jānis Kristītājs, no debesīm vai no cilvēkiem. Un tad viņi savā starpā apspriežas, ja mēs teiksim no cilvēkiem, tad cilvēki mūs nomētās ar akmeņiem.
If we say from God, then he will say, why didn't you believe him then?
Bet ja mēs teiksim no Dieva, viņš mums uzdos jautājumu, kāpēc tad jūs viņam neticējāt?
Who authorized Jesus to do what he was doing?
Kurš autorizēja Jēzu darīt to, ko viņš darīja?
John the Baptist.
Jānis Kristītājs.
He was the one pointing him out as the servant of the Lord from Isaiah 40-55.
Jo Jānis Kristītājs norādīja uz viņu kā uz kunga kalpu no Jesajas grāmatā no 40. Līdz 55. Nodaļā.
He was the one that pointed him out as the lamb that would take away the sin of the world.
Viņš norādīja uz viņu kā uz jēru, kas paņems pasaules grēkus.
He is the one pointing him out and saying he is the one dealing with the human sin problem.
Un viņš ir tas, uz ko Jānis Kristītājs norādīja, ka lūk, viņš risinās grēku problēmu.
So they answered, we don't know.
Un tā viņi atbild, mēs nezinām.
And Jesus says, then I won't answer your question either.
Tad arī es neatbildēšu, uz jūsu jautājumu.
He had already answered it.
Viņš jau uz to ir atbildējis.
So, the plot is very, very simple.
Un šī... tā schēma ļoti vienkārša.
Now, the having silenced the Sadducees, you read that, he tells several, the Pharisees, they began to flock around him.
Un apklusinādams Saduķējs, tagad farizeji sāk pulcēties.
And that is not a friendly gathering.
Un tā nav tāda draudzīga sapulce.
They are moving in for the kill now.
Viņi tur tojas, lai viņu nogalinātu.
And they ask him a question, tell us which commandment in the Torah is the greatest.
Un viņi jautā viņam, pasaka, kurš balsis Torā vislielākais.
And again, almost whatever Jesus was going to say, they would nail him.
Un atkal, lai ko Jēzus teiktu, tas faktiski viņu piesistu krustā.
So Jesus tells them a couple of parables and there's an interlude there.
Un Jēzus viņam stāsta pāris līdzības te.
And then he asked, I have a question for you, he says.
Un tad viņš saka, man jums ir jautājums.
Who do you think, what do you think of the Christ? Whose son is he?
Un viņš saka, kā jums šķiet, kā dēls ir Kristus?
And they said, the son of David.
Viņš saka, protams, Dāvida dēls.
They walked straight into his trap.
Un viņi uzreiz patiešo nonāk viņiem izliktajā cilpā.
For what they got, they didn't expect.
Jo tas, ko viņi dabūja, viņi galīgi negaidīja.
And then he says, how is it then that David speaking by the Holy Spirit can call him Lord?
Which verse it is?
That is, yeah, what verse is that? Well, you find it in Psalm 110, we need to go there eventually.
Faktiski, tā te ir sarunā.
Well, I think you can translate it.
Viņš saka, kā tad Dāvids svētajā garā runādams sacīja?
The Lord said to my Lord.
Kungs teica manam kungam.
Sit at my right hand.
Sēdi pa manu labo roku.
Until I have put your enemies under your feet.
Kamēr es esmu nolicis ienaidniekus tev par kāju pameslu.
And then he adds, if David calls him Lord, how can he also be his son?
22. Nodaļa Mateja evaņģēlijas. Viņš tev sacīja, kā tad Dāvids viņu garā sauc par kungu sacīdams?
We usually stop our reflections and our analysis here.
One moment.
45.
Pants. Ja nu Dāvids sauc viņu par kungu, kā tad tas var būt viņa dēls? Now, mēs parasti šeit beidzam visu analīzi.
Of course, the issue is that David is speaking about someone he also calls Lord.
Protams, Dāvids šeit runā par kādu, kuru viņš arī nosauc par kungu.
Somebody who is the Lord of David while he was king.
Kurš bija kungs pār Dāvidu, kamēr Dāvids bija kungs?
Now, what relevance do you think this question have to the question of Jesus' authority and what he's doing?
Kā jums šķiet, kā šis jautājums attiecas uz to, ko Jēzus darīja un viņa autoritāti?
Now, he taught... They believe that Psalm 110 was a prophetic psalm given by David.
Viņi uzskatīja, ka 110. Psalms ir tāds pravietiskas psalms.
A prophecy about the ultimate king coming in Israel.
Par pravietojums par visaugstāko ķēniņu, kas nāks Izrēlā.
Now David himself calls it a revelation he has received from God.
Dāvids pats saka, ka tā ir atklāsme, ko viņš saņēmis no Dieva.
A conversation that takes place between two persons, God and the one he calls the Lord.
Saruna starp divām personām, viena ir Dievs un otra ir tā, ko Dāvids sauc par savu kungu.
And of course this psalm implies that whoever this future Messiah son of David is, he's more than human.
Un te faktiski parādās tas, ka lai kas būtu šis nākamais Mesija, viņš ir kaut kas vairāk nekā cilvēks.
He has higher authority.
Viņam ir augstāka vara.
He is authorized by God.
Dievs viņam ir devis šo varu.
And I want you to read it because they have been singing this in their synagogues and their hymn book for a long, long time.
Un viņi to ir dziedājuši jau daudz, daudz gadus, gan dziesmu grāmatās, gan sinagogās.
So when Jesus quote the first verse, he expects them to know what is going to follow in the psalm.
Un kad viņš citē viņiem pirmo rindu, Jēzus sagaida, kad viņi zina,
let's read Psalm 110.
Izlasīsim 110. Psalmu.
The Lord says to my Lord.
Dāvid.
The Lord says to my Lord.
Tā kunga vārds manam kungam.
Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet.
Sēdies pie manas labās rokas, tiekams es lieku tavus ienaidniekus par pamestu tavām kājām.
Now this is of course the text that Jesus is referring to.
Protams, šis ir tas teksts, uz ko Jēzus atsaucas.
But they knew what follows.
Bet viņi zin, kas tur seko tālāk.
The Lord will extend your mighty scepter from Zion.
No Cionas tas kungs izplatīs tavu sceptera varu.
You will rule in the midst of your enemies.
Valdi savu ienaidnieku vidū.
It's the true coming king of Israel.
Tas ir paties nākamais Izraela ķēniņš.
Your troops will be willing on your day of battle. And you array in holy majesty from the womb of dawn, you will receive the dew of your youth.
Tava tauta būs labprātīga tava karagājiena dienā, tava jaunekļi nāks pie tevis svētā glītumā kā rasa no rīta blāzmas klēpja.
This is all about the future great king.
Tas ir viss par nākamo ķēniņu.
And then you read.
Un tad jūs lasat.
The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind.
Tas kungs izvērējis, un viņš to nenožēlos.
You are priest forever in the order of Melchizedek.
Tu esi priesteris mūžīgi pēc Melchizedeka kārtas.
The answer Jesus gave to the Pharisees that day.
Tajā dienā Jēzus šajā atbildē, ko viņš deva farizējiem.
And which nails the authority by which he was acting as a priest.
Un ar ko viņš apstiprināja šo autoritāti, kā viņš rīkojas kā priesteris.
He's taking their attention to the simple fact.
Viņš pievērsa viņu uzmanību vienkāršam faktam.
That the prophetic expectation is.
Ka pravietiskās gaidas ir.
That the future Messiah will not only be a king, but also a priest.
Ka nākamais ķēniņš būs ne tikai ķēniņš, bet arī priesteris.
So the two offices will be fused in his person.
Un ka viņa personā apvienosies šie divi amati.
He will be the one who is authorized to provide forgiveness of sin and access to God.
Viņš būs autorizēts piedot grēkus un vest cilvēkus pie Dieva.
I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Es esmu ceļš, patiesība un dzīvība, neviens nenāk pie Tēva kā viens ar mani.
This is a priestly function and Jesus acts and claims this function.
Šī ir priestera funkcija un Jēzus to arī pieprasa sev.
With what authority do you do this was the question?
Jautājums bija, kā spēkā, kādā autoritātē tu to dari?
And the answer he gave is referring to two Old Testament texts.
Un Jēzus atsaucās uz diviem vecās derības tekstiem.
John the Baptist answer leads straight to Isaiah 40-55.
Un Jāņa Kristītāja teiktais norāda patiešo uz Jesajas 40. Līdz 55.
nodaļai. The son of David answers leads straight to Psalm 110.
Un šeit psalms, te ir atsaucis arī 110. Psalmu.
Now, we may not think this is very significant.
Mums var tas nešķist pārāk tā nozīmīgi.
But actually this is extremely important for our understanding of what's going to follow.
Bet tas ir ļoti svarīgi saprast, kas sakos tālāk.
The king is not, no, Messiah is not only going to be king, but also priest.
Mesija būs ne tikai ķēniņš, bet arī priesteris.
In Capernaum he started a line of argument and actions.
Kapernaumā viņš sāka zināma veida strīdu un rīcību.
That would lead to his crucifixion as a blasphemer.
Kas novedīs pie viņa krustā sišanas kā zaimotāja.
Now, when Caiaphas actually charged him eventually in the high court, probably 3 days after the confrontation in the courtyard.
Kad Kaifa viņam uzdeva jautājumu, droši vien kādas 3 dienas pēc šīs konfrontācijas templī, ko mēs šeit lasījām.
If he really wanted Jesus to come out and say more explicitly what he has alluded to in the temple, he got more than he bargained for.
Ja viņš gribēja kaut ko panākt ar to, ka viņš argumentēja templī, man šķiet, ka viņš dabūja pat daudz vairāk ieguva nekā pat viņš centās.
You know they accused him by for subverting the temple in some way or another.
Viņu apsūdzēja, ka viņš mēģina noniecināt kaut kādā veidā templi.
They had understood something anyway.
Viņi kaut ko bija sapratuši no tā visa.
So he took charged him under oath.
Un tāpēc viņi prasīja, lai viņš zvēr pie Dieva.
Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God.
Saki, ja tu esi Kristus, Dieva dēls.
Now Jesus could have just simply said, yes, I am, as he did.
Jēzus varēja teikt vienkārši, jā, es esmu.
But again Jesus stepped into it by both legs and foot.
Bet atkal Jēzus šeit kā piekšā, kā mēs sakam, rabām kājām.
In the future you will see the one Daniel calls the Son of Man.
Jūs redzēsiet nākotnē kādu, ko Daniels sauc par cilvēka dēlu.
That is me.
Tas esmu es.
Exalted to the right hand of the mighty one.
Paaugstināt pie visvarenā labās rokas.
And coming in the clouds of heaven.
Un nākam uz debesu padebešiem.
This expression of the right hand of the mighty one is Psalm 110.
Un atkal šis izteiciens pie visvarenā labās rokas ir 110. Psalms.
You're going to see me sit where David said that his great son, who would be both priest and king, is going to sit.
Un jūs redzēsiet mani sēdam tur, kur Dāvids runāja par šo ķēniņu un priesteku, kur viņš sēž.
Now in their eyes this was outrageous claims.
Viņu acīs tas bija neprātīgs tāds izaicinājums.
Clearly Jesus is subverting the temple and all its functions.
Tagad nepārprotami Jēzus atmet visu templi un viņa funkcijas.
Placing himself squarely in its place and dispensing placing himself squarely in its place.
Nolikdams tempļa vietā sevi.
And dispensing what according to the law Moses could only be dispensed by the Levitical priesthood.
Un dalīdams cilvēkiem to, dodams cilvēkam to, ko caur pie Mozes varēja darīt tikai caur šo Ārona kalpošanu.
Can this man be from God?
Kā šis cilvēks var būt no Dieva?
Let alone the Messiah.
Kur ne vēl Mesija?
So they crucified him.
Un tāpēc viņi sita viņu krustā.
Now this is the crown jewel in the Christian message.
Šis ir kroņa dārgakmens kristiešu
vēstījumu,
kas paziņo, ka tagad viņš pie Dieva labās rokas,
who is now in business,
kurš tagad strādā,
who can bring sinners to God,
kurš var pievest grēciniekus Dievam, kas var dot piedošanu,
who can bring God's presence to us, the Spirit,
kurš var nest Dieva klātbūtni caur garu,
that Jesus Christ is the new and living way to God.
Un Kristus ir dzīvs un jauns ceļš pie Dieva.
Now this is going to have major implication for the way you're going to read the fulfillment story. This is going to have major implications for the way.
Šis ir milzīgs iespaids, kā jūs lasīsiet
the story of fulfillment, the prophetic promises of fulfillment. How are you going to read all of that?
Un kā jūs lasīsiet par to visu?
How is the story going to pan out from now on? What stages will the story be fulfilled in?
Un tagad kāda pavērās tagad šī panorāma un kāda būs tagad nākamie cēlieni?
Remember, they expected all of it to come all at once.
Atcerieties, viņi to gaidīja, ka tas viss piepildīsies uzreiz.
It was not even within the horizon of the Jews at that time.
Toreiz nevienam jūdam, pat kā saka, kaut kur pie horizonta pat nerādījās tā doma.
That that there was a problem of sin that needed to be taken care of first.
Ka vispirms jāatrisina grēka problēma.
It was not even within their imagination that the Messiah first had to deal with the human problem of sin.
Ka viņiem nerādies pat neviena doma tāda, kad vispirms Mesijam ir jāatrisina cilvēka grēka problēma.
Before he could even set up the kingdom of glory among us.
Pirms viņš var uzcelt savu godības valstību mūsu vidū.
And therefore they, or could say it this way, they just did not understand that part of his mission.
Un viņi nespēja saprast viņa lomu šajā kopējā lietā.
When you read the story of the New Testament, it's very clear that not even his disciples and his followers had any clues about that.
Un lasot jauno derību, jūs redzat, ka arī, protams, viņa sekotājiem nevienam nebija ne mazākās nojausmas par šo visu.
Thomas did not understand what he was talking about.
Tomas nekā nesaprata, par ko viņš runā.
The woman at the well, but she was a Samaritan.
Sieviete pie akas, nu labi, kaut ko, bet viņa bija samarieta.
None of the disciples even expected that the Messiah would have to die in any sense and meaning of the word.
Un neviens no mācekļiem nesaprata, kad Mesijam būtu vispār jāmirst.
I think that's sufficient evidence to demonstrate that somehow this whole side of the Messiah had fallen out of their expectations.
Varētu teikt, kad visa šī Mesijas kalpošanas vai dzīves puse, vispār viņiem bija pagājis sece neievērota.
The glory part, yes. The new heaven and the new earth,
Godības daļa, jā, jaunas debesis, jauna zeme, jā, to
All
viņi redzēja.
All that was part of their expectations of what the Messiah would do.
To visu viņi gaidīja, kad Mesija darīs.
But somehow, when it came to the function of the Messiah as someone who takes away the sin of the world,
Bet kaut kāpēc attiecībā uz to Mesijas uzdevumu, ka viņam jāpaņem prom pasaules grēks.
Second temple Judaism had ended up with a blind spot.
Otrā tempļa judaismas beidzās ar šo aklo punktu, ko viņi neredzēja.
And that is of course the dividing line between Judaism and Christianity to this very day.
Un lūk, šeit ir arī šī nošķirtības līnijas starp jūdaismu un kristietību līdz pat šai dienai.
When they interpret Isaiah 53, they interpret it in the following way.
Kad Jews, you mean?
Yes.
Kad jūdi skaidro Jesajas 53. Nodaļu, viņi skaidro sekojoši.
I was in a Jewish synagogue many years ago in America.
Pirms daudz gadiem es Amerikā biju jūdu sinagogā.
And the rabbi was preaching on Isaiah 53.
Un rabīns tieši sludināja par Jesajas 53. Nodaļu.
And he was of course talking about the Jewish Holocaust.
Un, protams, viņš runāja par jūdu holokaustu.
And he said this was a text about the fate of the Jews in this world.
Un viņš runāja, lūk, šis ir teksts rakstiet par jūdu likteni šai pasaulē.
They were the victims of all the evil and wickedness of this world.
Ka jūdu tauta ir šīs pasaules ļaunuma un grēka upuris.
The suffering servant of Yahweh, of
viņš,
God.
Viņš ir, šī tauta ebreja ir, kā saka, Jahves kalps, cietošais kalps.
And if you go to the Holocaust Museum in Israel,
un ja jūs dodaties uz Holokausta muzeju Jeruzalemē,
where you have this hall, where you have all the lights for all the dead children,
kur ir šīs gaismas,
they will sometimes tell you this is Isaiah 53.
Kur ir šīs gaismas katru bojāgājušo bērnu, tad viņi teiks, ka lūk, šeit ir runa par Jesajas 53. Nodaļu.
They take it as a text that refers to the suffering of the Jewish people.
Viņi to pieņem kā rakstvietu, kas runā par jūdu tautas ciešanām.
But in that context you don't start to discuss with them.
Un šajā kontekstā jūs nevarat sākt viņiem strīdēties.
It's not quite appropriate to discuss theology when you face that kind of horror.
Nav vietā sākt runāt par teoloģiju, kad jūs stāvat tādās šausmu
But
vietā.
But this is still the dividing point. And no Jew today expect that the Messiah will be the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world.
Neviens jūds negaida, kad Mesija būs tas, kas paņem prom pasaules grēku.
Today it is solved in a different ways than in Second Temple Judaism. It's solved differently.
Šodien tas tiek risināts citādāk nekā otrā tempļa jūdaisma laikā.
Prayer and worship and Bible reading is the means to receive the grace of God and forgiveness.
Pielūksme un grēka nožēla un Tōras lasīšana ir tas veids, kā saņemt Dieva žēlstību šodien.
Second temple Judaism was of course the temple.
Otrā tempļa judisma laikā, protams, tas bija templis.
For Christianity it is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Kristietībai tas ir Kungs Jēzus Kristus.
Now I would say it's the perfect fit that makes the story about Jesus acceptable. The perfect fit between what he claimed, did and was with that of the prophetic vision.
Un man šķiet, ka tas, ko Jēzus apgalvoja, tomēr pilnībā saskan ar šo pravietisko skatījumu.
It is the resurrection that makes it believable.
Šī augšāmcelšanās dara to ticamu.
And it's the redemptive benefits for us that makes it good news.
Un šīs pestīšana dodošie labumi ir tas, kas mums to dara pa labo vēsti.
The source, the story of Isaiah is like a loaded gun.
Jesajas stāsts ir tāds, ir kaut kas līdzīgs pielādētam ierocim.
Waiting for someone to pull the trigger.
Kas tikai gaida, lai kāds nospiestu šo gaili.
Jesus is the one that did it.
Jēzus ir tas, kas to izdarīja.
The rest is history.
Pārējais ir vēsture.
And of course, as he said himself, the sign that my claims are true is the resurrection.
Un, protams, kā viņš teica, zīme maniem apgalvojumiem, ka tā ir patiesība, ir man augšāmcelšanās.
The world will receive only one sign, the sign of Jonah.
Pasaule pieņems tikai vienu zīmi, Jonas zīmi.
Like he was in the watery grave, so I will be in the grave.
Kā Jona bija ūdens kapā, tā es būšu zemes katlēpī.
And my return will be the evidence that I spoke the truth.
Un mana atgriešanās būs zīme, ka es esmu runājis patiesību.
So in a way or another, everything about Jesus hangs around the resurrection.
Un tā, vienā vai otrā veidā, viss, kas saistīts ar Jēzu, saistās ar viņa augšāmcelšanos.
Is the testimony that Jesus indeed is resurrected believable and trustworthy.
Tas saistās to, ka augšāmceltais Jēzus ir uzticams un viņam var ticēt.
Yes, there are many evidence in support of it.
Ir daudz liecības, kas to atbalsta.
Which I'll not touch here.
Ko, kam es šeit nepieskaros.
But of course, what created a revolution in Jerusalem after Easter. After Easter created a revolution, a religious
bet, protams,
revolution.
Bet, protams, pēc lieldienām Jeruzalemē tā bija revolūcija.
We have to realize that Christianity was born within Judaism, it developed within Judaism, it started the heart of Judaism in Jerusalem.
Mums jāsaprot, kad kristietība radās judaismā, attīstījās judaismā un izauga Jeruzalemē.
And the story about Jesus' resurrection had its first and most powerful impact in Jerusalem.
Un Jēzus augšāmcelšanās vislielāko iespaidu atstāja tieši Jeruzalemē.
You could just walk outside the wall and see the tomb.
Jūs varat iziet ārpus šiem pilsētas mūriem redzēt šo kapu.
And if the tomb has not been empty, the authorities would have all the power in the world to kill Christianity as it starts.
Un ja kaps nebūtu tukšs, autoritātiem šim varas pārstāvjiem būtu visas tiesības nokaut
visus.
Viņi varētu jums iedot gidu, lai gids aizved jūs un parāda šo kapu. Un parādīt lūk viņa mirstīgās atliekas.
But I think we need to realize it is in the heart of Judaism in Jerusalem itself that Christianity is born.
Un tieši judaismā Jeruzalemē kristietība ir dzimusi.
And a large number even of the priests would eventually join the faith.
Un daudzi priesteri pat pievienojās šai ticībai.
I think that is significant.
Man šķiet, ka tas ir ļoti nozīmīgi, būtiski.
And it's very hard to explain unless something dramatic and powerful has happened.
Un to ir ļoti grūti izskaidrot, ja vien kaut kas dramatisks un būtisks tiešām nav noticis.
This was not a faith that was born out in the superstition of the Gentile world.
Tas tā nav kāda ticība, kas radusies pagānu mājticības rezultātā.
It was born in the heart of the most resistant place in the world, Jerusalem.
Tā ir radusies vietā, kura ir visvairāk visā pasaulē pretojusies pret jebko.
While all the evidences are very strong in support of the believability of the apostles' testimony.
Tātad visas šīs liecības, ko apostoļi liecināja, bija ļoti pārliecinošas.
The fact that it happens there seems to indicate that something must have happened.
Tas, ka tas ir noticis tur, šie visi fakti liecināja, ka kaut kas tiešām ir noticis.
The very people who killed him were those who also became his followers.
Pat tie cilvēki, kas viņu krustā sita, kļuva par viņa sekotājiem.
I'll end here and I hope you get this claim of Jesus because I think that's important.
Un es ceru, ka jūs tagad spējat aptvert šo Jēzus apgalvojumu, jo tas ir tik būtisks.
Because if he's both priest and king, that's going to structure the story for the rest of the time. For rest.
Jo ja viņš tagad ir priesteris un ķēniņš un priesteris, tad tas savukārt strukturē visu tālāko attīstību.
That would lead us to stage 5 in the story and we'll do that after a break.
Un tas mums novedīs pie 5. cēliena šajā stāstā, ko mēs runāsim pēcpusdienā.
Okay, thank you.
Paldies.